This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
Let's do this thing!
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
My grandmother's name was Giovanna Domenica Tavanero. When she'd get mad, she'd start spewing in Italian. I never knew what she was talking about.
According to Jim is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
And Pyle with a monster jam! He says in your face, Derby!
College basketball.
Kemba Walker, step back, Walker, party at Kemba! Does it again! UConn wins at the buzzer!
Everything happening in the sports world.
LeBron James with no regard for human life!
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
I mean, they'd take one look at me and they'd say, next! Whatever happened to Ethel?
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing, another edition of According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE or online worldwide at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner, and joining me as always, the most popular man in McPherson, Steve Sell. Steve, I was planning to go to Las Vegas this upcoming weekend. I was planning to go because it was Super Bowl weekend. I knew that we had a little bit of time off. I was thinking we would have that Monday off after the Super Bowl, would be able to fly back, and then get ready for the second half of the season. I was thinking about it. We were about one day away from booking tickets, and unfortunately, the Newton girls game got suspended and pushed back to Monday, February 5th. So, no Vegas for me, but if there was going to be Vegas for me, I think I would be rolling in a whole lot of money. Steve, I've been hot lately. I have been red hot on my picks.
I know. You had Jacksonville beating Pittsburgh. You had KU by 12 last night when I had K-State by 3.
KU beating West Virginia. K-State picking up the win later last week.
Yeah, you had K-State beating Oklahoma. I didn't have that.
Yeah.
So maybe next year when it comes time to do football picks, you do them and not me, because Fearless Forecaster hasn't been over 80%. You know, he's been on tenuous ground anyway.
Fearless Forecaster.
He's been at 79%. That doesn't cut it. We need over 80% for Fearless Forecaster. And, you know, he's an old guy. I think maybe he needs to be put out to the pasture. I don't know.
Well, one of our anonymous sources said that we should change Fearless Forecaster's name to Pessimistic Prognosticator when it comes to KU games. The Jayhawks went into the Octagon of Doom and came away with a 14-point win last night. One thing that I talked about yesterday and that I kind of thought would happen is that this game means so much to everybody in Manhattan. They started off the game with Holly Rowe in the middle of the student section with all the people that had been there for 3 hours. This is the game they wait for. They have to listen to Big Brother talk about basketball season all year. All their friends from Johnson County. All their friends from Lawrence. They have to listen to it all year. And they get their chance once a year at home to knock this team off. And last night, if there was ever a year for K-State to beat KU at home and take control of the Big 12, if there was ever a year, it's this year. And if there was ever a game, it's last night. K-State had been playing well.
Great.
Dean Wade had scored about 20 points in five or six
And he's a KU killer. I mean, he has just destroyed KU.
And plus, K-State's been good. KU's been down. You look at the guys they've had to throw out there, the whole Udoka Azubuike free throw shooting dilemma. If there was a year, it was this year. And K-State had its chances to take control of this game, whether it was early, whether it was at the end of the first half, whether it was early on in the second half when they cut it to 5. And then you look at the guys KU had to play last night. Mitch Lightfoot had to play 20 minutes. Silvio De Sousa, who was sitting in a high school math class a month ago, is playing on the court.
And Sam Cunliffe. And
having to guard down. Sam Cunliffe's dribbling the ball off his shoe.
He gets hit in the head with the ball, and he ends up scoring.
Marcus Garrett picks up 3 fouls faster than you can say 3 fouls.
He played 4 minutes and got 3 fouls.
When you look at everything that KU had to do last night and the way this team is built, this was K-State's year. But what happens every single year? Bill Self beats the other team's coach. And again, Bill Self beats Bruce Weber. Again, it's crazy, Steve. We've been talking about all year long, we know what's going to happen. And even though we can build it up in our minds and get to the point and say, this is the year KU loses, it's not going to be.
Yeah, and I got blamed.
It's not going to
be.
I
was blamed because I picked K-State to win. You know, they said, well, we know if K-State's going to – if you pick K-State to win, then KU's going to win because you never pick anything right. But you look at that first half. KU has 12 turnovers. K-State has 3. KU shoots 4 of 11 from the free throw line. And they're up 13.
That was about the weirdest first half I've
seen in a
long
time. It really was. KU goes 14 of 20 from the field. And then, of course, starts the second half 0 for 9 to go right under 50%. But that, like, yeah, it was really bizarre.
And 14 baskets and 13
assists. And I, you know, of all the analysts that do the ESPN games, I like Fran Fraschilla the best.
I do too.
I don't like Jay Billis. You probably like Jay Billis.
The Billustrator.
I don't like Jay Billis. Because
athleticism.
Everything is athleticism. But anyway, Fran Fraschilla has got a great feel, and he's got a great feel for the Big 12 because that's what he does. And he said it best, K-State came out too jacked up. What they needed to do was probably go run about 5 miles before that game. They had so much adrenaline. They were firing shots. I mean, those poor backboards got dented in the first 4 or 5 minutes of the game. I mean, they took some just – shots that were ugly, they were good shots. That's the thing. They were getting great shots, but they just started off shooting terrible. They ended up the game 21 of 65, 6 of 27 from three-point. And you look at the guys, Cartier-Jarre had been fantastic ever since they put him in the starting lineup. I've never seen, you know, normally he is just bursting with energy. He was so passive last night. He played 34 minutes, was 1 of 4 from the field. Now, he had a couple steals, and he only had one turnover, it looks like, on the stat sheet. But he was no factor. Barry Brown Jr., who in the Big 12 has maybe been the best scoring guard other than Trae Young in the Big 12, 4 out of 16, 0 of 4 from three-point, 9 points, 4 turnovers. And, let's see, assists, well, he had 5 assists. So he had, you know, 5 to 4, that's not a great assist ratio. You want to be 2 to 1 or 3 to 1. Xavier Sneed, when he wasn't fighting cramps, 4 of 12. The big guy in the middle, Mwalney, 1 for 6. And then the human foul, Levi Stockard the third came in. He got his 3 fouls in 7 minutes like he always does. And then they had, Patrick, Wainwright, McGurl. I mean, those guys, you know, they're just Johnny-come-latelys in this series. So K-State just shot it so poorly, even though they had great shots. But again, we talk about the coaching. Bill Self recognized his team was getting tired. They weren't stopping K-State, you know, off the bounce. He goes zone. What happens? KU scores the last 8 points of the quarter. K-State starts the second half, I think, with a 9-0 run. Self goes back to the zone. Ball game. K-State does nothing against the zone. And again, I thought this was all set up for K-State to win. And KU... they always show these cracks. They show that they're vulnerable. I mean, you know,
there's one massive crack, and that's just Udoka stepping to the front
throw line. Yeah, Udoka as a Bukwe. They hold him to 6 points. He only plays 18 minutes.
He only took 2 shots.
Yeah, he took 2 shots. He actually made a couple free throws, which was Devontae, 3 of 10 from the field, but 16 points and 11 assists. Malik Newman, really good. Double-double, 13 and 10. Even LeGerald Vick, there was a LeGerald Vick sighting. We haven't seen too many of those lately. 11 points. And then Zvi, of course, 22 points, 7 rebounds. He has stepped his game up to a different level. KU, by the way, only had 4 turnovers in the second half and did make 15 of 17 at the line. So while they didn't shoot it great in the second half from the field, they did everything else really well, especially playing defense. You hold K-State, the way K-State's been playing, the 56 points, that's some kind of defense.
How many times in the last 25 years do you think a team has had every single player that plays in the game have a turnover and win by 14? That is a weird stat.
It really
is. Every single player that played in the game had a turnover.
And, you know, K-State led 2-0, and they never led again. KU tied it, I think, on a Vic basket maybe, and then they went on that run. K-State played catch-up all night. I kept waiting, though. You know, they had that run at the start of the second half. I think it was 8-0, 9-0, something like that. Yeah. It went from 17-8. I really thought, I told Coach Kinnaman, we were watching the game at my house, I said, K-State will get this thing down to 3, and he just kept shaking his head. Coach Kinnaman is like you as far as having a feel for KU basketball. It's just amazing to watch a game with him. He'd say, okay, Azubuikwe hadn't touched the ball the last couple times. There will be something wrong if he doesn't get a touch. Moments later, Azubuikwe gets a touch. He passes off, easy basket. You know, maybe I just don't have a feel for the Jayhawks, or maybe I am the soothsayer of doom when it comes to KU. And I am a KU grad. I mean, as a disclaimer, I'm a KU grad.
I'm not.
Maybe I just don't, you know, after 13 years of winning the Big 12 and I still don't believe in them, maybe I'm just, I'm too much of a perfectionist and I set the sights too high, because I look at this KU team, and again, I see more flaws in this team than any team selves have.
I'm serious. This might be the worst roster in the Big 12.
They got 2 points off the bench last night. 2 points off the bench. And they got 6 fouls. They got 4 turnovers. The guys from the reserves were 1 out of 2, and that was Cunliffe, who threw up. He had about a 12-footer or a 14-footer wide open. He shot about 18 feet. And then the other one, he scored on some crazy layup after it bounced off his head, kind of shook the cobwebs out of him. And it's been real funny because on the KU chat lines, Bill Self has been getting roasted for not playing Sam Cunliffe. Now, Sam gave him 6 good minutes last night, but you saw when it came down to crunch time, he wasn't in the game. Same with DeSosa. I really feel for Silvio DeSosa because – he is just like a fish out of water right now. He has no idea.
They put him in, and he missed his assignment, and two guys knocked down 3.
Yeah, you know, had a turnover. I mean, and the guy just looks—he looks stiff as a board out there to me. He's this massive physical specimen, but he just looks really stiff and really scared. And KU needs a game where they're up about, you know, like in the old days, they'd be up 25 with about 6 minutes to go. I mean, Tyler Self had come in.
Oh, sure.
Christian Garrett, Evan Manning.
Oh, the best.
The fun bunch, as we like to call them. Clay Young. Is Clay Young still on the team, or does he graduate?
I think he might have graduated. I don't know. He made a real impact.
But I think Clay Young might still be on the team, but we haven't seen him in a long time. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he graduated last year. I don't know. It's been so long since we've seen any of their walk-ons. We haven't seen Tehan or Vang or anybody like that. So that just tells you, once it got into conference play, the bench is very short for KU.
This is an observation that I've made in the past, and I don't think I've ever talked about it on this show. I think I was talking about it with Coach Strathman the other day at the
big fan of the show
at the McPherson Invitational. He's a big fan. So there was this recurring theme that I would see while covering NAIA basketball the last 4 years with Baker. And mainly on the men's side, but a little bit on the women's side. And it wasn't the Baker coaches that did this. So you get into a game, and some fouls don't go your way. There's this thing that I expect with my coaches, that they can contain themselves. Because there's this problem that when your coach starts to get really worked up about officiating, your players start thinking about officiating and blaming the officials. The fans start to blame officials. And there was a weird start to that game last night. The first 10 or so minutes where there was a weird and one called against Udoka Azubuike when I don't think he was touched. There were some very physical plays. There was a block from behind by Svi Mykhailiuk.
That was clean.
And it was clean. But there's this problem, and all you could see were the shots of Bruce Weber with his hands up in the air, looking up at scoreboard.
Yeah.
Whenever you see this over, and because fans look to the coach, what is he doing? How is he reacting to this? And it's okay to show emotion as a coach. It's okay. You should. And you should be loud and you should be vocal. But when you start to make everybody else think that the officials are against you, I think there's a problem with that, because your players on the bench, then they get a foul called against them, and all the players on the bench are getting mad. The players that are on the court start to feel like everybody's against them. There's this problem that I see with coaches that it happens. And to me, Bruce Weber is one of those that does this all the time. And so you could feel the energy in the first half of that game, the first 10 minutes, where the fans were just ready to explode because they're seeing Coach Weber get mad, and so they're getting mad. And then the next play happens, and it's a 50-50 ball. They get mad about it. The next play happens. It's a hard foul from behind that's not called. And the fans are getting mad again. So when this continues to happen, it's that spiral effect where everything keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And when you get out of it mentally, I think that's a problem.
And I thought K-State was out mentally basically the whole game. I really did. Other than the, you know, when they made the run to start the second half, I said, okay, K-State's going to do it. I think they're going to make that big charge. But when Self went zone and they started missing shots, it was game over. Maybe I don't have enough faith in KU. I got a text from Wilson.
Wilson
told me I need to have more faith in KU since I am an alum, but I try to be impartial. I really do. I try to be impartial, you know, in my writing, and I feel like I do a pretty good job of that. But maybe I just don't believe in KU as much because maybe – in my own way, I'm trying to be impartial, and I'm trying to give K-State the credit. But again, if you're out of it mentally, you're going to then be out of it physically. And you just saw some of the just ugly shots K-State took. And if not for Dean Wade, where would K-State have been? I mean, Dean Wade had his usual 20 points, 8 rebounds. I'm telling you right now, Dean Wade will be an NBA player. Dean Wade, if he stays...
Where's he from again?
Hey, they didn't mention it one time last night. I really like that.
And it was on Kansas Day in the KUK State game.
But I'm saying if Dean Wade stays another year, gets a little stronger, if he had Hootie from KU, you know, Andrea Hootie, the weight coach, if he had her, the strength and conditioning coach, because you look at those KU guys, and it's like they're all cut out of the side of a mountain. But Dean Wade stays another year, he's a lottery pick. I'm just saying it right now.
I will make one more point on the point I was making a moment ago about coaches and how they handle themselves. There are two coaches here at McPherson that I think do a wonderful job of this. And this is just basketball we're talking.
Right.
Coach Kinnaman, I think, does a really good job. Now, he will get his money's worth with an official sometimes.
Does it more with the Kinnaman stare.
Right. But I don't think that he goes out there and flails his arms and throws clipboards and kicks the bench.
Now, he throw his tie.
And then he kicked the bench going backwards one time and popped the hammy.
Oh, yeah,
but
bad hammy.
Coach Strathman, I think, is another good example of this. And this is what I was talking with him about. I think coaches that are very positive all the time and are constantly encouraging instead of blaming on officials and letting their team think that that could be an excuse, I think that's a really good role model to set. And I think Coach Strathman is a really good example
I think they both are. Now, Coach Kinnaman does get loud, but it's a positive loud.
Right.
And, you know, he doesn't try to do it to get our crowd inspired or get them all upset or anything like that. He does it more with the look. And everyone knows the Kinnaman stare. So
I think you know it better than anybody else.
He was staring me down on that 4-footer that I had for birdie to time on Sunday, and it didn't work. I didn't look at that stare because if I miss a 4-foot putt, I lose everything in our match to him. I knocked that 4-footer in, and he just shook his head, and he didn't even give me the stare after I made it. It was almost I could just feel it. He was staring a hole right through me, going like, really? You made a birdie from where you were on that hole. You bang it into the hill and it pops straight up and ends up right by the hole. You got to be kidding me.
Well, let's take our first break. We had a whole lot of time today, so luckily we were able to kill that. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about this Big 12 race and how last night affected it. And we can also talk about the Kansas City Royals and the deal that they made last night. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
You deserve it. We're back on According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online at midkansasonline.com. We're bumping back with some Bruno Mars because we got to talk about him yesterday on our show and our talk about the Grammys. Steve knows a lot about Bruno Mars, and he actually told me he went back and listened last night.
No.
Listen to the new Bruno
Mars
album.
The only thing I know is he's like half Hawaiian, and he wears sunglasses all the time.
He listened to the 24-Karat Magic album.
Yeah, you played three. I think you played three songs of him yesterday, and I thought it was all the same song. I guarantee you, it's no Lynyrd Skynyrd.
No, Skynyrd will never die, and neither will the According to Jim podcast. SoundCloud.com/KBBE Sports. You can go back and listen to any show. Yesterday was pretty funny. If you want to listen to Steve talk about the Grammys and a little bit of DACA,
I had a lot of people tell me I'm a real fool. I am a musical fool.
That's the best part of the show is that people just start to rip Steve. They just get real worked up about him. They go, God, Steve doesn't know anything.
Well, that's
I forgot to talk about this yesterday. Steve, in case for all of you longtime listeners, we had a show back on October the 31st, which was the day of Halloween, and we were talking about our favorite candies, and I said mine was a Kit Kat, and Steve didn't know what a Kit Kat was. He had never had one. He's just a fan of crafted caramels, and so the other day on Saturday at the Mid-America Classic, I gave him his first Kit Kat.
Yeah, the guys from the Stat Crew have this massive outlay of candy. And actually, I think I probably eat more of the candy than anybody else.
But you ate a Kit Kat. What'd you think?
Not impressed. Give me Kraft Caramel any day. Chocolate-covered cherry, something like that.
Yeah, there you go. Well, anyway, we move on. We talked a lot about KU's win over K-State last night, 70-56. And now we look at these Big 12 standings. KU alone in first place at 7-2. And then the rest of the crew is going to have to catch up and get to 9 games midweek here. But Texas Tech, West Virginia, OU, all at 5-3.
And K-State was 5-3 before last
night.
Now
5-4.
5-4.
So when you look at the rest of this race, KU has to play Texas Tech down in Lubbock. And that will not be an easy game because Texas Tech's a very good defensive team. But you get the feeling they're not going to lose twice to Texas Tech.
No.
And they've been a little bit on the decline to me. West Virginia, they have to play them at home. They always find a way to win at home against West Virginia. They will have to play Oklahoma at home as well.
Yeah, they've played the tough teams on the road. West Virginia, Oklahoma, K-State, the only ones Texas Tech out of the top five.
So now as we look at this Big 12 standings, these Big 12 standings for the rest of the year, do you have any doubt that KU's not going to win this thing? The only thing that concerns me a little bit for them winning it is them get into a cold streak, get into a
where
into
they don't
a bad
shoot well
stretch
from three,
where they shoot poorly, or if there is a major injury. And we didn't get to talk about this last year because I was not around, and we didn't. But this was something that I continue to think about all the time, was that Frank Mason was playing 40 minutes a night for 3.5 months.
So now that's what Devontae's doing.
And now that's what Devontae Graham is doing. Zvi played 39. Malik Newman played 40. There's just something that's got to be worrying KU fans.
Me.
About those three playing every single minute of every single game. And not as much maybe them getting hurt, but the thing that could concern them is KU gets into the tournament and they're so reliant on Devontae Graham playing 40 minutes, he picks up 2 fouls in the first 2 minutes of the game. What do you do?
They're toast.
Svi picks up 2 fouls somehow.
Adoka gets
takes,
three in
takes
the first
an elbow
half
to the head.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah.
And that's the
there's
thing that
so
I think
little,
concerns them
there's
down
so
the road.
There's so little margin for error. There really is. And I'm going to hold to my contention. I think KU wins the title, but I think they share it with either West Virginia or Oklahoma. That's my prediction. But we know how my predictions work out. We've not real good here lately.
The pessimistic prognosticator. Well, I've been saying it since day one.
You have?
We watched that Kentucky game back in the Champions Classic, and I went, man, this KU team, they are nothing special. And I said it earlier, I didn't get to really emphasize it. They might have the worst roster in the Big 12. When you look at 1 through 9, they might.
And
no. Now when you look at 1 through 3, pretty decent.
Yeah, but Oklahoma State and Iowa State.
Malik Newman, though, like as the fourth best player. Yeah. But then you look at those bottom guys. Marcus Garrett If that guy has to play serious minutes, Sam Cunliffe is dribbling the ball off his face. Silvio De Sousa is 18 years old.
Yeah.
Mitch Lightfoot, who played fairly
well. I thought he was great last night.
I mean, he's an okay sixth man. I'm just not impressed with this roster at all. But Bill Self teams and KU teams, and mostly Devontae Graham and Svi Mykhailiuk, just know how to win.
Yeah.
And it's so impressive.
It's ingrained.
We will take a break from talking about Big 12 basketball, and we'll move on to baseball. How many days till pitchers and catchers report? Probably about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We're getting closer.
I'm getting excited. Because everyone knows, I think, that listens to this show, I'm a baseball guy. I have always been a baseball guy. As much as, you know, I love basketball here, but as far as professional sports, I'm a baseball guy. NFL, I like. NBA, I don't watch it until June, because it doesn't matter to me until June. Hockey, I don't know anything about hockey. It's not cold enough here all the time for hockey. And then, you know, so those are the big alleged big four. Now, I like auto racing.
Lacrosse?
No. But I do like water polo. I do like auto racing, but with no Dale Jr., no Jeff Gordon, my interest is starting to wane. No Danica. How are they going to get along without Danica and her weekly 28th place finish? I mean, my gosh.
Is she no longer in NASCAR?
She is going to race one race, and she's going to retire. I think she's going to race Daytona and then call it a career. But I really like NASCAR. I really do.
I got to tour Daytona Speedway last December. It's pretty cool. Baker football was playing in the national championship game. We had our media day there.
Uh-oh.
So that was pretty cool. They were running test laps around the track, and so it was just loud all day. It's pretty annoying. But it was a cool place. All right, when we come back, we get to talk a little bit about baseball, what the Royals did yesterday, and the moves that they have made going forward. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online at midkansasonline.com. Steve, I've been on a big Tom Petty kick recently.
You've come over to my side.
Well, it's not that I've never
you
been
gotta
on
hear
your
learn,
side.
Learning to fly, that's my favorite Tom Petty.
I'm not a big Bruno Mars fan to begin with, yeah. But like I said yesterday, you gotta dabble in everything a little bit. You got to now. This will work in perfectly. I wasn't planning on talking about this, but a year ago, I sent out a tweet. You get a reminder of this app, Steve, that anything that happens on the 1 year or 2 year, 3 year anniversary, it tells you what you said.
Okay.
It's called Time Hop. So you can't really do that. You don't have enough of a portfolio to go off of. But a year ago, I just finished the show Sex and the City.
Okay,
I finished all 6 seasons. And I enjoyed the show a little bit, but my theory was, and I talked about it yesterday, you got to learn a little bit about everything. You got to learn about what Carrie Bradshaw's doing. You got to learn about what Bruno Mars is doing and Cardi B. You got to know a little bit. Now, you get to focus on what you want to focus on, and for me, that's typically sports. I got to know what's going on with everything. Yeah. But when it comes to the pop culture stuff, I got to know a little bit about Samantha. I got to know a little bit about Carrie Bradshaw.
There you go.
I have to. If I don't, then I think I'm missing out. You got to know a little bit, just enough to know what's going on.
Well, you know me.
Pretty caught up on the blacklist.
The blacklist. And I'm a politics guy. I've told you that. I watch it.
You're not a Sex and the City guy.
Interesting.
Did you have HBO back in the day where you could have watched it?
I didn't have HBO. I did not have HBO.
Not a big fan of the home box office?
No.
All right, well, we move on into talking about the Royals and the deal that was made yesterday. It was sort of a weird deal in that nobody was really expecting it. So the Royals and A's had a trade, which sends Royals' Brandon Moss to Oakland, as well as left-handed reliever Ryan Buchter, in return for Oakland pitchers Jesse Hahn and minor leaguer Heath Philmeyer. So the Royals are getting Brandon Moss off of their books. And that's the main
$8 million.
Part of this deal. So he was owed $8.25 million. The Royals are also kicking in $3.25 million, so that way they get $5 million off of their books.
I would love someone to kick in $3.2 million to me. I'd be saying, adios, hasta la vista, baby, I'm out of here.
Where would you go get a golf club membership with $3.25
million? Riviera, because I want to play on the...
You go to Torrey Pines.
I like the Kikuyu grass.
So the Royals made that deal yesterday, and I saw some interesting reactions to that, and that they were going, the Royals, now they've got first base open for Eric Hosmer. And I'm like, you think first base was going to be locked up by Brandon Moss, the guy that can't hit, the guy that can't field?
He was terrible.
It's Eric Hosmer's job. Brandon Moss was just the placeholder that if Eric Hosmer doesn't show back up to surprise Arizona in February, that they'll go, okay, Brandon Moss, here's your glove. You're now going to have to play the field. So I was surprised at the way people were reacting to that. And I keep seeing the reaction of, this is the Royals dumping some salary in an effort to be able to get Eric Hosmer. And I get that that is the reaction.
Well, the thing is, there have been so few moves by anybody. Any little deal is just going to set off a firestorm.
Right.
And Brandon Moss, I mean, good grief. The guy was, what, 205 last year? He struck out about every third time. Ryan Buchter was really good for San Diego. He got to Kansas City, and he was like gasoline on a fire. I mean, good.
And not in a good way.
Not in a good way. Now, Jesse Hahn, I think that's a good pick. They're starting to stockpile some arms a little bit.
But Jesse Hahn worries me because, number one, he's a Tommy John guy.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, his last three seasons have been cut short from injuries. And so banking on a guy like that is a little bit worrisome, but I don't think they're banking on him. I think he's just another name to have. I still do not think they will sign Eric Hosmer.
No, I don't either. I just don't either. And they've already made it clear, Moustakas, they're not even negotiating with him. From everything I read, Kane, of course, went to Milwaukee. They did re-sign Escobar. It's like crickets around Jason Vargas. So, you know, somebody like the Yankees may just swoop in, and they're going to get Jason Vargas for a song. You just watch. And because the Yankees are smart. I mean, they picked up Stanton to go with Judge in the outfield. Can you imagine those guys in the outfield? I think the Yankees, they're the team that's really going to be coming in the next few years. It's going to be Yankee dynasty again.
So the Royals shipping off Brandon Moss. What a bummer that is. He was a whole lot of fun, great teammate, blah, blah, blah. I'm not too upset about getting him out of
Salvi to first base, Butera is the catcher.
I wouldn't be surprised if in the next 3 years Salvador Perez becomes more of
there's no doubt.
Regular at first base.
So he can prolong his career because he can't keep going the pace he is.
Just for how big he is. Yeah. All right, before we get out of here, Big 12 games tonight. TCU going to Stillwater and Baylor is against OU on Tuesday.
Is that
OU? I had it written real weird.
Is it at
and
OU?
Today is Tuesday. Baylor will be at OU.
Yeah, that'll be an easy OU win. And then there should be one more game, I think.
Well, they'll have another one on Wednesday. West Virginia at Iowa State. Texas at Texas Tech.
Okay.
Well, so Texas, this is not a great week.
Texas has already beat Texas Tech. Now, K-State has to go to West Virginia on Saturday. So K-State could be out of the race by Saturday after they were right there. And as we talked in the first block, K-State, boy, did they miss a golden opportunity last
night. That was
their
chance.
That was their big chance.
And you felt good about it, and I felt like they should have won. I wasn't following the line.
And what I saw on the internet today, K-State fans are saying, we got Webbered again.
You and I joked about it this morning. I think we might have even said it yesterday. K-State loses last night. They'll lose over the weekend. And then all the K-State fans, after a week ago, going, Bruce Weber might
be the guy. Got to get Brad Underwood. Got to get Steve Henson. That'll be the, you know, those are the first two names that always come up. So
I don't think anybody around these parts would be too bummed
about
that decision.
No.
All right, well, we'll wrap up today's show. Tomorrow, we've got some Big 12 basketball to talk about. Maybe tomorrow will be a good opportunity to start diving into the Super Bowl because we've still got some
Is there
dead
still
time.
A Super Bowl?
Yeah, surprisingly.
Huh.
You know,
oh, yeah, a couple weeks ago there were some playoffs. That's right. You know that's my pet peeve. I hate the week off.
It's not great.
No.
The 2 weeks
after the championship game is the Super Bowl. I don't like that at all.
All right, well, that'll wrap our show up. Make sure to listen tomorrow from 12:30 to 1, and you can always find us on podcast, soundcloud.com/KBBESports. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll see you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.